John's account of the death of Jesus is an example of how tempting it can be to allow truth and justice to take a back seat when our security is threatened. In this chapter, we see Jesus played as a political pawn by people whose greatest fear is not that they might betray truth or justice, but that they might incur the wrath of the Roman emperor. Pilate allows Jesus to be brutally flogged and mocked, and only afterwards claims he can find no basis for a charge against him. Why the injustice of flogging an innocent man? Well, Pilate feels his security depends on appeasing the bloodlust of the Jewish leaders. But not wanting to go the whole way with crucifixion, he puts on a lesser, though still brutal, show. Pilate's rocked by revelations that Jesus is claimed to be the Son of God. And fearing Jesus somewhat, he questions him further and tries to set him free. Yet the Jewish leaders raise the stakes, shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." Pilate fears Caesar's displeasure more than he fears a miscarriage of justice, and so he throws Jesus under the bus. He hands him over to be crucified. Pilate's a cog in the political machine. He puts his security in the machine and in Caesar, its supreme ruler. He fears losing his position. He fears Caesar's wrath, and so truth and justice are swept aside. It's tempting to allow truth and justice to take a back seat when our security is threatened. The Jewish leaders appear to be standing on high principle. They say they have blasphemy laws that require capital punishment. They claim Jesus has broken those laws by claiming to be the Son of God. Now, of course, Jesus can only be guilty of blasphemy if his claims are false. But this is not discussed. Are they really wanting Jesus killed because of high moral principle and a desire to defend God's honour? No. Much earlier in John's Gospel, back in chapter 11, they'd already decided to take Jesus' life, not because of blasphemy, but because of Jesus' increasing popularity. They were afraid that Jesus' miraculous signs and powerful teaching would result in a mass religious revival that would lead to a forceful backlash from Rome, depriving Israel of what remained of its identity and freedom. And the high priest, Caiaphas himself, made the pragmatic judgment that because of this risk, it will be better to kill Jesus than for the whole nation to perish. So as with Pilate and the Jewish leadership, security is the issue. They fear the might of Rome more than they love truth and justice. They're depending on Rome for their security, while throwing truth, justice, and Jesus under the bus. How tempting it is to compromise truth and justice when our security is threatened. Well, now let's look at Jesus. Where is his security? He says to Pilate, "You would have no power over me if it were not given you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." Whose power does Jesus revere? In which authority does Jesus invest his security? Not Pilate's, not Rome's, but the power that is above all, God's. And the high priest Caiaphas, of all people, should take the same attitude. And so in handing Jesus over, he's guilty of a graver sin than Pilate, who doesn't believe in the God of Israel. You see, in order for truth to be served above political pragmatism, God must be feared above all. He must be feared above the might of Rome. And for Jesus, that means resolutely facing the terror of the cross. Everyone else is running away from the threat, clinging to security at the expense of truth. Jesus walks towards the threat because he's put his security in his heavenly Father, in the invisible God who's sovereignly directing these events toward an outcome that is not about preserving the status quo. It's not about preserving a powerful and yet brittle political balance. Jesus walks towards the darkness of crucifixion in fulfillment of God's plan, that yes, one man will indeed die for the nation of Israel, and not for them only, but for the scattered children of God, all who down through the ages put their trust in him for the forgiveness of their sins and receive eternal life. God's plan is to bring them together and make them one. And that's why we see all of these events shown to be accomplished in fulfillment of Scripture, even down to the dividing of Jesus' clothes and the casting of lots, even down to the drinking of wine vinegar, even down to the detail that not one of his bones would be broken. And even in his greatest extremity, we see a man motivated not by self-preservation, but by love for others, as he commits his own mother in her overwhelming grief to the care of the follower he loves. Jesus is able to do this because his security is in God. He trusts God to deliver him and protect him, not from death, but through death. A death died not to preserve a political balance, but died for our sake, so through faith in him we might live. He died for a human race that is running away from all kinds of threats, real or perceived, and yet we're throwing truth and justice aside in our relentless quest for self-preservation. He died for a people who fail to serve one another in selfless love, but withdraw in selfish fear. He died for a people who invest their security in things they can see and touch, in things they hope they can control, but who abandon principle when the pressure is applied. And still today, he calls us to put our security in a higher authority, a higher power, a firmer foundation. He calls us to put our confidence and our faith in him. Good Friday is good because the God of the universe directed the events of Jesus' final hours towards an outcome in which good triumphs over evil. Chaos and pragmatism and fear and lies and injustice did not have the final say. God had the final say. And his word of promise still rings out today. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Can I encourage you and urge you to put your security in God's Son today? And you can be sure that you'll receive a new life that can never be taken away. Amen.